Bless her heart. She passed away back in 2000. She was my teacher. She taught me about religion. She said, you better pray that stain comes out of that carpet. She taught me about anatomy. She said, if that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't you come running to me. She taught me about anticipation. This happened often. You just wait till your father gets home. Yeah, I heard that quite often. She taught me about contortionism. Would you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? No, I couldn't do that. And finally, she taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Yeah, my mother was, bless her heart, she was quite the lady. And I learned a lot about her after her death when we were putting together all the things that you do for a funeral, but I loved her with all my heart. So all the mothers who taught us all those things and all the mothers who do more than what is possible, happy Mother's Day to you today. God bless you. If you will, let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 34. We'll use this as our scripture today, talking about Mary. And I'm not trying to get you to compare yourself to Mary today, but this is a good scripture to look at. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. If you're able and willing, please stand with me as I read from the scripture. We'll read 34 through 38. I'm in the New International Version. You follow in whichever version you have there. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and a power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, therefore no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, on this special day, this special time that we recognize mothers, we just ask that you would help us to look to the scriptures, look to this passage, see what we can learn from what you told Mary all those many years ago. And Lord, help us to apply this to our lives today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in the first verse there, the first thing I see, and I title these a mother, but you could actually put a parent called by God. That's what the title of this is, a parent or a mother called by God. And that's you. If you're here today and you got one of those roses, you are a mother called by God, or maybe you're a father called by God. And in verse 34, she says, how will this be? I am a virgin. You know, she had questions. She was a young girl. She didn't know. Well, a mother or a parent called by God submits completely to God's will. That's in your notes if you want to fill it in. I always try to stump you with those blanks, but pretty easy today. A mother or a parent called by God submits completely to God's will. You see, Mary was only a teenager, wasn't she? And she was confronted with the challenge to be completely submitted to God's will. She didn't understand how it was going to happen. She didn't know when it was going to happen. She didn't know how it was going to happen, but she submitted to God's will. The key phrase, of course, is, I am the Lord's servant. May your will be fulfilled. If you're going to be a godly mother, that's a prayer that you have to offer up often. I am the Lord's servant. May your will be fulfilled in me as I am a mother. Was she nervous? Of course she was nervous. Was she unsure of her own abilities? Who wouldn't be? She was a teenager being told she's about to be a mother. Was she anxious about the prophecy, the part of her future that would include pain, that would include watching her son go to the cross? Of course she was. But Mary was a little like the mother who sits up late at night. Sits up late at night, far past her bedtime. My mother did this for me, waiting for her daughter, her son, to come home. Anybody ever done that? I know you have. I know you have. Or it's like a father who said the silent, heartfelt prayer as he watched his child drive off to go on a date or go to a job or something, praying that nothing happens, praying that life will be preserved and that that youngster would be back. Mary was like any parent in this room, folks. Mary only wanted the best. She wanted the protection for her child and was fully aware that life happens and that not all of life is pleasant. But Mary was unlike a lot of parents in the world today. Mary was, first of all, committed to God. If you're going to be a good mother, you must be committed to God. She was so committed to God that she had no room for commitment to anything else. She set that aside and she fulfilled what was in her future. And that made her a mother worth imitating this morning. So a mother called by God is going to listen to God and pay attention. The second thing is a mother or a parent called by God doesn't have to be perfect. Amen? Anybody in here perfect? If you raise your hand, you just broke the spell. You're not perfect if you raise your hand. No, you're not perfect. The great news is, ladies, none of you have to be perfect. You just have to be a parent called by God. You just have to be and do God's will for your life. The illustration here is, you know, my mother never tried to be perfect, but some do. This is a little snippet I found. It said, Linda Huckins of Maiden, Massachusetts, tried to be perfect one day. On the day of her daughter's wedding, she was going to do everything perfect. And she went to the front of the church. Her job was, as you know, the candelabras, was to light all the candles. I'd hate to have that job, but that was her job. And so she went candle by candle, lighting it and trying to be perfect. And then she went to the last one, and not reeling the potential hazard there, she got just a little bit too close, and her little acrylic nail caught on fire. Yeah, that's what the crowd said. And she just quickly went, put it back down and walked up. You know, she wasn't going to spoil it. She wasn't going to ruin the big day. She just blew out that flaming candle like a gun smoke with a gunslinger with a six-shooter. Blew it out. Needless to say, her blackened nail was the talk of the reception when she got over there. But here's a scripture I want you to listen to. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother, that's who we're talking about, is Mary, was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the party. You know what's fixing to happen. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Talking to Jesus. And he says, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." You think she did what she was supposed to do that day? No. Jesus came back at her and said, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Well, two things here. First of all, if you're a child in the audience today, don't try that with your mom. Don't work. It won't work. Okay, don't try that. Second, think of the awkwardness of this situation. Jesus is Mary's child, and Mary's request in a conversation appears to be out of line with what Jesus wanted to happen in his ministry and what he was ready to do. And although he performed the miracle, he went ahead and turned the water to wine, there was a feeling that he did so in part because his mother put him on the spot. My point here is no mother, including Mary, is perfect. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 12:46. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here is my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Ooh, that had to sting. That had to sting. Jesus' mother and brothers are there wanting to talk to him, but he was so focused on God's will that he wasn't ready to do that. And if Mary had understood the task of Jesus on earth, then she wouldn't have interrupted him or even agree with his unbelieving brothers that his ministry needed to be tempered. She would have followed Jesus' lead. Stopping the ministry of Jesus even for a little while was a no-no. And so she didn't do that. She couldn't do that. So here's the deal. When you've made mistakes in the past, you certainly will make a mistake or two, and you may even do it today. You may burn the casserole, although I'll have you out plenty early, don't worry. But through it all, God will love you and work with you and accept you. Don't go poke your head in the sand and say, "Woe is me, look what I've done." No, pick yourself up, admit your mistake, confess if you need to, and move on with God's will for you. And through it all, your task is mothering, of grandmothering, of great-grandmothering, whatever it will be accomplished. So how many of you have been discouraged by the words that we find in Proverbs. I almost preached on this, but it's kind of everybody does, so I found a different passage. And the author writes about the perfect woman, you remember? Perfect mother. There's 22 lines in that poem, and each one of them begins with consecutive letters, so it's kind of an acrostic, and each letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it's a poem that speaks of an imaginary woman. That's the first thing you need to realize. It's kind of like A is for apple pie she bakes, and B is for the baby she loves. That's not the scripture, by the way. C is the cleaning of the house. It's kind of thing, that kind of thing all the way down to Z. And a woman like this, who tries to emulate this woman in Proverbs 31, is going to fail. Because in the very end, the scripture says, a wife like this, who can find her? Don't be discouraged. Don't think you have to be perfect. All you have to do is follow God's will and admit when you make a mistake. The third point here is a mother called by God never relinquishes the title. You never give up the title of mother. It's there. The scripture here says, near the cross of Jesus, this is John 19, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. She was there. And you think about that. Jesus had been scourged. He had been whipped. He had had to carry the cross. He had been stripped. He had had the placard nailed above the cross. He had been put on the cross, nailed through his feet, nailed through his hands, and his mother was there to see all that. I can't imagine. And Mary didn't stand by stoically like the great Mary that some people think she was. No, she was at the foot of the cross, and she wasn't made out of stained glass. She showed her emotions. She crumpled at the cross. She fell down at the depths there moaning and wailing and begging God to stop her hell on earth, if you will, as she watched her son being tortured. The truth of Simeon's prophecy at the birth of Jesus was suddenly true. The cross cut into Mary's heart. And despite the pain, Mary was there. She was his mother. She was called to be there. A mother from the beginning and a mother at the end. A mother called by God never relinquishes the title. Are you estranged from your kids? Fine, but you're still their mother. Are you arguing with your kids? Fine, but you're still their mother. Are you in a disagreement with the way they're living? Fine, but you're still their mother. You are still called to love them and to commit yourself to them from the beginning to the end. You'll find mothers like that in the halls of children's hospitals, in funeral homes, in counselor's office. Mothers never give up. Even if the child is rebellious or harsh or cruel, her heart will not allow her to be removed from that child, not when she's called by God. When a woman becomes a mother and when a man becomes a father, there's an instant realization that the day will almost certainly come when pain will dominate the picture. I've been there, folks. I've been there with one of my daughters in particular, actually with both of them. We've had times when it was very, very painful for her mother and I, or for their mother and I. And, you know, God got us through it. We didn't abandon them. We didn't agree with their lifestyle. We didn't agree with what was going on. We continued to get on our knees and to pray for them and to ask for God to restore them, and he did. And so there's an instant when you realize that's going to happen. The crosses are different for every family, but frankly, the crosses usually come. You'll usually have a period of heartache in your life with those children. Not always, but usually. There may be a divorce, there may be disease, there may be death. There may be harsh words and unacceptable actions. There may be a time for tough love and impossible nights. Who do you turn to in times like that? You turn to your Father. You turn to God. You ask for His intervention. You ask Him to help you. You see, through it all, mothers called by God never relinquish the title. They never, ever. There's nothing like a mother's love. Amen? Remember the Hebrew poem I mentioned earlier? That's idealistic and unrealistic. I like this one better, written by Howard Johnson in 1915. And it's an acrostic. Mom is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for a heart of purest gold. E is for our eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. I like that a whole lot better. That's more realistic. Well, I hope that you are a mother called by God. I hope that you recognize that you have a job to do and that you're there from the beginning to the end. And I'll pray for you as you continue to be the mother that God would have you to be. One last story and we'll get to the casseroles, okay? The children of the cartoon Family Circus were once discussing babies. One of the young experts said, "Storks don't bring babies, they come by UPS. Probably. Or today it would be what? Be Amazon, right? Some of the other children had different ideas, but the best was saved for life. Babies, one said, are connected to their mothers by a biblical cord. That's pretty stout. Mothers or babies are connected to their mothers by a biblical cord. On this Mother's Day, may you always be connected to your children by a biblical cord. May God bless you as you continue in your life as a mother. I'd be amiss if I didn't say you can't be a mother called by God if you don't know Him, if you don't know Him as your personal Savior. You know, you see, God gave His life. Jesus gave His life for us that we might be saved, that we might live an eternity with Him. And if I pass that by today, I would be amiss. You see, it's for everybody, and you come to know Him through simple childlike faith. You've heard me say this before. None of you checked your bench this morning to see if it would hold you up. How come? Because you knew it would hold you up. By faith, you thought it would hold you up. And I've been on some benches in Africa. I didn't have quite that faith. But here, you have faith that that bench is going to hold you up. It's simple childlike faith that will get you a relationship with Jesus Christ. You believe that God sent Him as His only Son. You believe that He lived on earth a perfect sinless life, that He died for you and He was resurrected for you. And the Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. So we're going to give you a chance this morning to do that. John will come and lead us with a song, and I'm going to ask you to stand. I'll be at the front if you'd like to come and talk with me, and if you have anything you need to pray about, I'd be glad to pray with you. Let's stand together. Thank you.